Thank you, David, for that very good prayer that you led us in a few moments ago. Certainly appreciate that prayer very much. Thank you, Doug, for the reading of the scripture there from Luke chapter 8. And thank you, Bruce, for leading us in that hymn, Sowing the Seed of the Kingdom. And I encourage everyone to keep your Bibles open and prepare to follow along with our study this morning titled, Sowing the Seed of the Kingdom. I appreciate Bruce leading that hymn for us and setting the stage for our study this morning. And in that hymn, as you noticed as we just sung, that hymn, Sowing the Seed of the Kingdom, it reminds us of our need to be diligently spreading the gospel of Christ to others. I thought that after a gospel meeting that would be a good topic to remind us of. We just spent the past week coming together each night throughout the week, sowing the seed. And I thought that it'd be very mindful for us to be reminded of the need to continue to be diligent in sowing the seed of the kingdom, to be diligent in spreading the gospel of Christ to others. So with that thought, and with the hymn, Sowing the Seed of the Kingdom, in mind, let's go to the scriptures this morning. And let's take a look at why we should be sowing the seed of the kingdom. And I want to begin this morning by suggesting to you that first and foremost, we need to be sowing the seed of the kingdom because the kingdom seed is the Word of God. We learned about this there in Luke chapter 8. And there in Luke chapter 8, as Doug read for us a few moments ago, is commonly referred to as the parable of the sower. And Jesus gives this parable, and he talks about a sower who went out to sow seed. And he goes to talk about some of the different variety of soils or hearts of men that seed fell upon. And he goes on in his explanation of the sower of the parable there in Luke chapter 8 and verse 11 to specifically tell us that the seed is the Word of God. You see, we need to be sowing the seed of the kingdom, brethren, because the seed, kingdom seed, is the Word of God. And I want you to think about something with me for a moment. This kingdom seed, it produces Christians. And seed cannot produce unless it is sown. But I also want us to be mindful of the fact, in regard to the fact that the kingdom seed is the Word of God, that we need to be sowing the seed of the kingdom, that is the Word of God, because the Word of God is truth. You see, the psalmist of old makes us aware of this fact there in Psalm 119 and 160. And in that text, he tells us that the entirety of the Word of God is truth. As good Bible students, we're familiar that Psalm 119 is the longest of the Psalms. And that psalm is in reference to the God and His Word. And in describing the Word of God there in verse 160 of Psalm 119, the psalmist declared that the entirety or the sum of His Word is truth. You see, to be simply put, God's Word is the foundation of truth. And it was founded on an absolute or essential truth. I want you to think about something for a moment. God's Word is absolute truth. It is not a fairy tale. And it is not a thing of fiction. But it is the truth which is able to set one free. You see, Jesus talks to us about that there in John chapter 8, verses 31 through 36. And in the context there, Jesus is simply telling His disciples, if you abide in My Word, you are My disciples indeed. And He goes on to tell them there in verse 32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. He goes on in that context to tell us what the truth is going to make us free from. It's going to free us from the bondage of sin. And this is the reason, brethren, why we need to be diligently sowing the seed of the kingdom. Because the kingdom seed is the Word of God. And the Word of God is truth. And it is able to set one free. You see, Jesus prayed for His chosen disciples there in John 17 and verse 17 as He prayed to the Father. He said, "Sanctify them by Your truth. Your Word is truth." Again, God's Word is truth. It is the foundation of truth. And it is able to make one free. Knowing that, we need to diligently be sowing the seed of the kingdom. But another reason I suggest to you this morning for why we need to be diligently sowing the seed of the kingdom is because of the fact that faith comes by the hearing of the all-inspired Word of God. Did you know that? Did you know that the source of faith comes from the kingdom seed? You see, we learn about that there in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 when Paul said, "Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." Again, the kingdom seed, when it is sown and when that seed falls upon a good and honest heart, it will produce faith. It'll produce faith. And the kingdom seed is the source of faith. It cometh by hearing. Faith cometh by hearing the Word of God. And it is because of that that we need to be diligently sowing the kingdom seed, knowing that faith is produced by it. But I also suggest to us this morning that we need to be sowing the seed of the kingdom because, as David revealed there in Psalm 18 and verse 30, because the kingdom seed, the Word of God, it is proven. Notice with me in your Bibles there, there's Psalm 18 and verse 30. And here in Psalm 18 and in verse 30, David declared, "As for God, His way is perfect. The Word of the Lord is proven," or as the King James, Old King James reads, "The Word of the Lord is tried. He is a shield to all those who trust in Him." I want you to think about those words of David with me for a moment. You see, David declared that God's way, it's perfect. And he also declared that the Word of the Lord, it is proven or it is tried. And some of you may be thinking, well, what's he talking about? Well, let me help you out with that. You see, I venture to say that we all recognize that metals such as silver or gold, they're tried by being put into a fire. They're tested, tried, they're proven. And in a sense, what David is saying here, the idea that is behind David's thought in regard to that the Word of God is proven or it is tried, the idea is that His Word, it's been tested. You see, David had trusted in the Lord. He had trusted in the Lord, and he trusted in His Word, and he found Him to be faithful to all His promises. You see that? How true. You see, God is faithful. God says what He means and means what He said. And David understood that. David understood that. He knew that God's way is perfect. And he knew that God would make good on all of His promises. And it is because of that, David confidently trusted in Him and His Word. But I also suggest to us this morning that not only is the Word of God, the kingdom seed, proven, but the Word of God is also pure. You see, we learn about that there in Proverbs chapter 30. Open up your Bibles with me, if you will, there to Proverbs chapter 30. And I want you to notice these words of wisdom beginning in verse number 5. There the wise man said, "Every word of God is pure. He is a shield to those who put their trust in Him. Do not add to his words, lest he rebuke you and you be found a liar. Here we learn that God's word is pure. Simply put, we can understand that every part of God's word is holy, it's true, it's good. There is not the least mixture of falsehood or folly in God's word. It's pure. And that is why we need to be diligently sowing the kingdom seed, brethren. Knowing that God's word is pure. It is good, holy, true. And I want you to also take notice of the warning that is given there in verse 6. You see, it is because of the fact that the kingdom seed is pure. Because there is not the least mixture of falsehood or folly in it, that we must never add to it. God's word, it's perfect. It's pure. It needs no changing. And it's because of that we must never add to it or take away from it. And we have a warning given here in verse number 6 of Proverbs chapter 30 in regard to adding to his word. What did the wise man say? He said, do not add to his words. Why? Lest you be rebuked by him. Think about that. You add to God's word, guess what's going to happen? He's going to rebuke you. But notice another thing we find. You're going to be found a liar. Think about that. That's serious, isn't it? And we need to be mindful of that warning to recognize that the kingdom seed, the word of God, it's pure. And it's because of that we must never add to or take away from it, lest we be found a liar. But another thing I suggest to us in regard to why we should be diligently sowing the seed of the kingdom is because the all-inspired word of God, the kingdom seed, it is living and it is powerful. Did you know that? I venture to say that you did know that. And we learn that the word of God is living and powerful there in Hebrews, the 4th chapter. Follow me, if you will, in your Bibles there to Hebrews chapter 4. And there in Hebrews chapter 4 and in verse 12, the Hebrews writer said, for the word of God is living and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the thought, of the heart, rather. Think about that. You see, the Hebrews writer tells us that God's word, the kingdom seed, it's alive. It's living. But not only is God's word alive, it is also powerful. For those of you that were here last Thursday night, you got to witness the power of God's word in action. God's word's powerful, isn't it, Brian? It's powerful. And when God's word falls upon a good and honest heart, when it falls upon a good and honest heart, it has the power in awakening the conscience, in alarming the fears, in laying bare the secret feelings of the heart, and causing the sinner to tremble with apprehension of the coming judgment. It's powerful. And let me tell you something, brethren. There is nothing more encouraging than to see the power of God's word in action. There is nothing more exhilarating than to see the kingdom seed penetrate a good and honest heart and to cause them to consider their ways and to turn from sin and to turn to the one true living God. Nothing, and I repeat, there's nothing more encouraging than to see the power of the living, powerful Word of God in action. And we need to be mindful that it is because of that we need to be diligently sowing the seed of the kingdom. Because going along with that point, we see that the implanted Word of God is able to save souls. Again, God's Word is powerful. It is the power of God unto salvation for all who believe. It's powerful. And James tells us there in James chapter 1 and verse 21 that it is so powerful it's even able to save souls. I want you to notice James chapter 1 and verse 21 with me. I want you to pay attention to this as we go through this verse. James here telling us of the need to be slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God, goes on to tell us there in verse 21, therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word. Why, James? Which is able to save your souls. I want you to think about something with me for a moment. I want you to think about the fact that James said that the implanted word is able to save souls. You see, that emphasizes the need for us to be sowing the seed. Because if the seed is not planted, guess what? It's not going to produce. But James tells us that the implanted seed is able to save souls. There's another thing I want you to notice there with me. He brings out the fact that the implanted word, he says, is able to save your soul. You know, there's something in there that most of us probably often overlook. You see, James didn't say that the implanted word will save your soul. He said it is able to save your soul. You want to know what that's telling us? It tells us that it requires the cooperation of man's own will. The kingdom seed, it's powerful. God's word is the power of God unto salvation. God's word, it gives us everything that we need to know in order to have life and godliness. God's word, all things pertaining to life and godliness are given to us and revealed in God's own inspired word. God's word, as we see there in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for correction, for reproof, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. God's word, it's profitable. But it's only profitable if we receive it and apply it. We need to be mindful of that. We need to be mindful that God's desire is for all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of truth. We learn about that in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4. That's God's desire for each and every one. But you know what? He's given us all things that has been revealed in His Word that is going to help us be thoroughly equipped for every good work. He's given us all things that's going to be profitable to us. But it's up to you and I to receive that. And when we do, it is then able to save your soul. And that is exactly why we need to be diligent in sowing the seed of the kingdom, brethren, knowing that it is alive and powerful, knowing that the implanted word of God is able to save souls. But I also suggest to us this morning that we need to be diligent in sowing the seed of the kingdom because the word of God stands forever. We learn about that from the prophet of old there in Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 8. And there Isaiah says, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. You see, amidst all the human frailty of this life, against all the shiftingness, changefulness that occurs in this life, there is one thing And I repeat, there is one thing that is true and sure and that will always stand firm forever. That one thing is the Word of God. The Word of God stands forever. And going along that thought, we see there in 1 Peter chapter 1. Turn with me, if you will, in your Bibles there. The 1 Peter chapter 1. We see where Peter talks about the enduring Word of God. And here in his explanation of the enduring Word, he tells us, beginning in verse number 22, talking to Christians, he says, "Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit and sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart." Now watch verse 23. He says, "Having been born again, not of corruptible seed." There's our word, seed. "Not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever." And here in verse 24, he refers back to the prophet Isaiah. And he says, "All flesh is grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of the grass. The grass withers, and its flower falls away." Verse 25, he says, "But the word of the Lord endures forever." You see, we learn something else about the kingdom seed here in 1 Peter chapter 1. We learn that the kingdom seed is not corruptible seed. It is not corruptible seed as that which is going to perish. Rather, it's incorruptible. You see, the Word of God, it does live and abide forever. It will endure forever. And when you think about that, you think about those of us who have obeyed the truth. You think about how God's Word continues to live in our hearts each and every day. It's always on our mind, isn't it? And we need to be mindful of that. The fact that God's Word lives and abides forever. It is enduring. It is forever true. But I also suggest to us this morning that we need to be diligently sowing the seed of the kingdom, because blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Turn with me, if you will, in your Bibles there to Luke chapter 11. And here in Luke chapter 11, we learn, beginning in verse 27, that as Jesus spoke some things, a certain woman from the crowd raised her voice and said to him, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast which nursed you." But I want you to notice what Jesus said there in verse 28. He said, "More than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it." You see, this woman, she recognized that the womb that bore Jesus and the breast that nursed him, blessed is that woman. But Jesus says, hold on a second. He says, there's something that is more blessed than that. And what was that, he said? He said, "Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it." Simply put, Jesus is saying, blessed are those who hear the word of God and obey it. And I want you to think about that. I want you to think about why Jesus would have said that is more blessed than the womb that bore him and the breast that nursed him. It's more blessed in the fact that this is something that all, if they desired, may attain. That's why. And I want us to be mindful of that. Mindful of the fact that blessed or happy are those who hear the word of God and obey it. You see, true happiness is found in hearing the seed of the kingdom and obeying the Word of God. And it is because of that that we need to be diligently sowing the seed of the kingdom. Brethren, these are just a few reasons for why we should be diligently sowing the seed of the kingdom. So I now ask, how about you? How are you doing with that? Are you sowing the seed of the kingdom? Are you? If not, why not? For as we have learned here this morning, there is a great need to be doing so. Maybe there is one here this morning who has not yet submitted their life in obedience to the Lord and His will. We encourage you to do that this very hour. For as we learned a few moments ago, blessed are those who hear the Word of God and keep it. And you have that opportunity this very hour. You have heard the Word of God, as we talked about this morning, which is the source of faith. And if you believe in all your heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the one true living God, you can repent of your sins. You can make a change in your life this very hour. You can turn from sin and turn to God. And you can confess Jesus Christ before men, and you can be baptized this very hour for the remission of your sins. And may we all always remember that the buck doesn't stop at baptism, but rather we need to continue to remain faithful unto death. For as Jesus promised in the latter part of Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Maybe there's one here this morning who has already submitted their life in obedience to the Lord and His will, but you've not been faithful. Maybe you've strayed from that straight and narrow path that leads to life. We plead with you to repent of your sins, to confess them to God, and to get back on that straight and narrow path that leads to life this very hour. And if you'd like to enlist of the prayers of the saints here on your behalf, we'd be more than willing to pray with or for you. So if there would be one here this morning, you'd be subject to the Lord's gracious invitation, whatever your name may be, won't you let that need be made known now, while making your way towards the front, while we stand and sing the song, Jesus Selected.